You're listening to Good Food on KCRW. I'm Evan Kleiman. Years ago, famed chef and pastry chef Nancy Silverton told me that she'd rather eat Claudia Fleming's desserts than her own. Claudia Fleming is the pastry chef who in the mid-1990s at Michelin restaurant Gramercy Tavern created the model of what restaurant fine dining desserts would be for decades to come. Her book, The Last Course, became a classic so sought after that until it was reissued in 2019, buyers had to pay a premium to get it. Now Claudia is giving us another gem, Delectable. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, Evan. So good to hear you again.
You too. It's often said of you that you have a great palate and a deranged sense of perfection. Did that immersion in super detailed plates that you created at Gramercy Tavern change once you left Manhattan and you and your late husband, Chef Jerry Hayden, opened your restaurant on Long Island?
It did. And born of necessity, you know, when I worked at Gramercy Tavern, I had 10 people on my staff. And when Jerry and I opened the North Fork Table and Inn, I had 2. So it, you know, one figures out very quickly that things need to be simplified. You know, the bells and whistles are nearly non-existent.
What was one of the first tweaks you did to one of your older recipes that really made you happy?
I have to say one of the great evolutions for the gingerbread cake, which so many people loved in The Last Course, made its way also into Delectable as a layer cake, which I never, ever made in restaurants. I never made layer cakes.
So let's talk about, I would love for you to talk about your thoughts about layer cakes and why you avoided them for so long.
Well, partly I think because a lot of what I did was deconstructing. And so I was taking elements and introducing them individually on a plate. And a layer cake is sort of a very tidy package. It's all right there. And so it didn't give me that expression of delving into elements and, you know, coaxing flavor and playing with different textures. They just seemed a little too one note to me. And, you know, American layer cakes tend to be really sweet, which was something I was always trying to lessen in a dessert. You know, if there was an opportunity to take out a few ounces of sugar, I always did.
A friend of mine has been bugging me about making her a coconut cake for like years now. And because it's been so long and I haven't delivered, it's taken on this mythic... this mythic sense, and now I'm afraid. Tell me about yours so that I can be convinced that this is the one that I should just bang out for her.
I think you should just bang it out. You know, it has coconut cream in it, and it's super moist and delicious and kind of a no-fail. Go for it.
What's the frosting like? You take us through kind of a frosting voyage in the book, with many different kinds that you use for different situations. What mm-hmm. is the frosting you rely on for the coconut cake?
This was something that I discovered, well, I didn't discover it, but my business partner and dear friend, Mary Mraz, every birthday made red velvet cake, and she didn't call it ermine frosting. She just called it white frosting. She is from Kansas, and grew up with this cake, and it was their celebration cake. And she oftentimes had, you know, difficulty with it because you'd make a roux first, which is pretty challenging, you know, for someone who's just throwing together a birthday cake 2 or 3 times a year. And very often, you know, when someone offers me cake, I'm no thanks. Oh, no thanks. I'm good. Thank you. I couldn't wait for her to make those darn cakes. I loved the frosting. It was fluffy and soft, but not at all sweet.
I've never heard of ermine before.
Yeah, I you know, did some research and discovered that this is kind of the precursor to cream cheese before cream cheese was very prevalent. And now we all use that incredibly stabilized product with a lot of sugar in it and just whip it. But this is whipped with butter. And it just produces a fluffy, soft, creamy frosting that isn't terribly sweet.
And is it pretty stable? Do you worry about the cake breaking down if it sits out for a bit?
No, it's quite stable. It's very stable. Yeah, because, you know, there's flour in the roux. So that really helps stabilize.
I'd love to talk about cookies. I don't ever allow myself to have cookies because mm-hmm. I eat all the cookies. But theoretically, they're great for this time of year because we can all have a little bite if we know we're eating like a large meal. In your opinion, what makes a cookie great?
I'm a huge fan of shortbread. I just love the tender, buttery, oftentimes for me, it has nuts in it. They're intensely flavored and just have a very beautiful, sandy texture, and I could eat them forever.
I'm so happy you went to shortbread because you have three recipes for shortbread cookies that are quite different one from the other. You have a pecan olive shortbread that seems like the perfect holiday appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
One that's espresso with cocoa nibs, which I have way too much of in the house, so I'm definitely making those. And then a maple shortbread. So maybe just give us, you know, a sentence or two about each one.
The pecan olive is just a funny, I believe its origins are Provençal-esque. You know, they're slightly sweet. They do have some sugar in them, but the olive, the oil-cured olive, just kind of makes you tilt your head, and it's kind of, what's that? And they're wonderful as with aperitifs. So those I like to think of a little bit more as, you know, pre-dinner snack, cocktail snack, as opposed to a dessert. The espresso shortbread, I just really enjoy a almost bitter, I mean, it's like drinking a cup of espresso with wonderful texture to it, and it lasts longer than an espresso. And the maple shortbread, which is made with maple sugar, is delightful. It's delicate. It's super flavorful. Texturally, it's wonderful. And those, you could really eat a million of those. Those go down very, very easily.
Maple to me is like a hug.
I love that.
As we look towards the holiday season, I can't even imagine inviting you over as a guest. What are you planning on bringing? What is your hostess gift?
I think I'm going to see my niece, who is a real traditionalist. I'm definitely going to bring the sweet potato buns. Might leave off the miso glaze until she approves or not. And I think I'm going to make a pumpkin pie. Or squash pie. I don't generally make pumpkin pie. I usually make a cheese squash or use cheese pumpkin or something, not traditional pumpkin.
And we should say a cheese pumpkin is a variety of pumpkin. It isn't a pumpkin mixed with cheese.
Thank you for that clarification.
Well, it's just been so much fun to catch up with you, Claudia. And this book is really lovely. Thank you for giving it to us.
Thank you, Evan. So good to talk to you again.
That was famed pastry chef and cookbook author Claudia Fleming. Her new book is Delectable, Sweet and Savory Baking. We have a recipe for her sweet potato rolls with miso glaze on our website. You know the link. It's kcrw.com/goodfood.